St. Louis, St. Jesus. Morning, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Can I have all y'all stand up? Let's stand up. So happy to be here. Let's all lift to the sky. Take a deep breath. One more time. Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for your patience, your grace, your forgiveness, your purpose. And we just pray you bless us today, encourage us, challenge us in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a high five. Give someone a high five. Happy Sunday, everybody. We want to welcome all our campuses around San Diego and Hawaii and also all the people online. God bless y'all. Excited for today. Before I start, 2 weeks from today, we are going to have Dr. Amen here with us. If you don't know Dr. Amen, he is a psychiatrist, a very good friend of mine for a long time, been doing brain scans on me for 20 years and just a sweet guy. Dr. Amen. He diagnosed me with ADHD 10 years ago. So when I was driving with my wife in a car, I said, "Hey, Deb, you know, Dr. Amen diagnosed me with ADHD. And he goes, "Did you pay for that? Because I could have told you that." It's like, true story. But he's a great family friend, sweet guy, him, his wife, and we know them very well. But anyway, he's going to be here in 2 weeks. What I would like to do is to start today, can we get on our knees for a minute? If you don't want to, you don't have to. I'm going to stand up, but no, I'm kidding. I don't know about you, but I sense something very powerfully from heaven stirring in people's hearts. And I know it, in my heart, God is like, "Look, I need more time with you. I need more time on your knees." And so I just want to pray just for a minute for us and that God would speak to you through what I'm going to say, or he may say something completely different to you, but that you would hear his voice and that you would do this every day. Just get on your knees, even if you have no idea what to say. Just get on your knees and say, "God, I'm here. I'm here. What do you want me to do? And what do you want to say to me?" And just allow God to lead your life. Lord, we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. And I lift up all the people listening right now on all our campuses online. We come kneeling before you saying, we need you. We're sorry for doing our own thing. We're sorry for not giving you full 100% of our attention. We're sorry for not being in your word the way we should, not memorizing scripture the way we should, not sharing our faith the way we should, not serving the way we should. We take so much for granted what you have done for us. But you say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that you've given us the spirit, not of the world, but the spirit of God, that we may know what has been freely given to us by God. Lord, I pray you reveal to us what you have freely given us. You've given us counsel. You've given us advice. You've given us opportunities. You've given us relationships. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to us those things. For every single person in here, God has given you so much. And my prayer is that you would acknowledge it, ask to be for it to be revealed more clearly to you, and more importantly, that we would take advantage of whatever it is that God has given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, "That was for you." If you have a Bible, I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. Today, there's going to be a lot of NFL games on TV. I'm sure all of y'all got everything all organized to watch all the games. Can I get an amen? Can I get a no-no? Okay, it's fine. I feel you. But a normal NFL weekly schedule during the season is that they play on Sunday, then Monday is film day, and I'll get to that in a minute. Tuesday's the day off. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, practice days and travel Friday, Saturday. Every single day that we have, that we're together, every single day, other than game day, we watch film. And it is usually either the practice the day before, well, it's both, practice the day before and film of the other team. We study all their players, their tendencies, all in different parts of the field, in different parts of situations. We had written exams 3 days a week about what we were learning. And all our practices are scripted, so we would have 30 plays, 20 plays, and they were all scripted, what the other team was gonna run in our practice, and then what defense we were in, and then we would get graded on what you did. So it was very, very mental, more mental than people realize. And one day we're in a film, and we happened to have just played the Raiders, so we were watching the game on Monday. We watch all the special team, every play that is run. And this little guy, who was a cornerback who was very fast, theoretically, was chasing a big guy who was a tight end who was slower, theoretically. And so as he was chasing him, we were noticing in the film that he wasn't catching up to him. And so they would run the film, and when you make a mistake, it's horrible because they run it forward and backward, forward and backward, forward and backward, and they got a little pointer, and they go, okay, Miles, what's going on here? And everybody's got to hear, you get blowed up right about a coach. And so we're all sinking in our seats because we know where this is going to go. And I don't remember the player's name, but let's just say he was Jim. I don't remember his name, Jim. And the coach said, Jim, are you hurt? Because either you're hurt and you can't catch this slower player, or you are not putting 100%. That was the question. It says there's only one reason that you should not be able to catch this guy is because you are hurt. And if you're hurt, you shouldn't be on the field. So he went back, and we all looked at this player going, oh, you in trouble. Because either way, he can't get out of this. But the coach was really asking him, are you either hurt or are you not giving 100%? Not giving 100% was absolutely not an acceptable answer. There's no way he could have said that. He might have run out of the building. So he said, well, coach, I was hurt. They said, well, you shouldn't have been on the field, and they went on. Here's my question to you. It's a question, proposal, challenge. Are you giving 100%? And I'm not saying this because I'm challenging you. This is what God challenging me in. I've heard so many people in the last few weeks saying, you know, I'm done being politically correct with my faith. I'm going to share my faith 100%. I'm just going to go for it. I don't care anymore. And so my question to you is, are you 100%? Are you 100% saying, Lord, I'm going to do whatever you want me to do? And I'm going to tell you, because I'm in this right as I stand here to speak to you, that God is challenging me to do something that's scary to me. That God is going to challenge you to do something. God is not concerned about your comfort as much as he is concerned about your obedience. I'm going to say that again, and I'm going to pause for emphasis. God is not as concerned about your comfort as he is your obedience. Matter of fact, all y'all who are married, who y'all are married? How many of y'all are married? Just raise your hand. When you got married and you were saying, I do, God was in the background going, oh, hold up, just so you know, I'm not as concerned about your comfort as your obedience. Because when you get married, you think, oh, I just love my life. It's going to be great. There's going to be drama. And it's in that drama that my daughter-in-law is pregnant with they're getting ready to have my third grandchild, and she's walking like this. Oh, my gosh. Every time I see her, she's just giving me a hug. She's like just ginormous. And she can't walk. She's got a human in her, right? And she her back is hurting, and her pregnancies have been so hard all the time. And then her last pregnancy, I think she threw up every day. It was something crazy like that. And she was saying, this baby better be worth it. And it was my granddaughter, right? Now she's got a boy in her. And God's like, listen, I'm getting ready to birth something, but it's going to be painful. And so today I want to challenge you to be bold and aggressive to share your faith. And I want to give you a way to do it that is so antithetically simple that I pray you start today. Now, you could decide, I don't want to do that. You're like that player in the video. Now, I'm going to tell you, that player was not hurt. He was just being lazy. He was just jogging. He didn't want to catch the dude because he just didn't care. And some of us have that relationship with our faith. I go to church. I won't go to church. I'll worship. I won't worship. And God's like, what are we doing here? We have no relationship. This is God talking. That's not the kind of relationship I want to have. I want you 100%. Matter of fact, we would be in, sometimes at the Chargers, we would be we had to take an elevator up to our practice field at an old stadium called, there was a stadium called Jack Murphy years ago, back in dinosaur days. Amen. Y'all remember Jack Murphy? Then it became Qualcomm, and now it's Snapdragon. Well, Qualcomm is gone, but we had to take an elevator up from the basement where the locker room was up to the main floor and then go out to the parking lot, through the parking lot to the practice field. So when we were in the elevator, we would get on dudes like, yo, man, you're stealing. And what stealing was, you're not giving 100%. We would jam each other up. And so I'm going to give you something so simple, you can't not do it. But here's my challenge to you. Are you 100%? Are you giving 100%? Time is now. You don't know how you're going to make it. So the first commandment, the greatest commandment, is Matthew 22:37. It says, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God. They said, what is the greatest commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And all these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I'm going to propose to you that the definition of evangelism is sharing God's love with a broken world. That sharing your faith is not talking about God. It's sharing God. It's not talking about a person. It's sharing a person. And you can't talk about God without righteously representing the character of God. And the character of God is love. Everyone say love. God is love. 1 John 4:8. God is love. So what I want to talk to you today is about how you can love just one person into the kingdom. How you can love just one. It's not about saying you're a sinner. Jesus died for your sin and rose from the dead. That may somehow come out. But the bigger foundational principle is that we are going to share God's love with the broken world. Matthew 5:44, and that includes your enemies. There are going to be people in your life who don't like you. How many of y'all got someone in your life who don't like you? Okay, if you're not raising your hand, you're deceived. There's people who don't like you. They talk behind. How many of y'all got people in your life who gossip? Okay, let's try this one more time. Elbow up here, let's say here. Okay, I promise you, they're gossiping about you. And you're gossiping about them. You just did. Matthew 5:44. I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you, and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the good and the evil. Love has to be the foundation of all your gospel sharing to people. It has to be. And when you're talking to someone, if you are saying, Lord, I love this person because you love this person, give me love for this person, then that love will cover a multitude of sin. As they're yelling at you, cursing at you, or just disagreeing with you or whatever, your love covers all of that. One of the most liberating experiences for me to talk to somebody who's trying to press my button by saying nasty things to me, and God says, oh, just love them, just smile at them. You okay? I'm good. Can I pray for you? And trust me, I'm not saying that it's always easy. Sometimes it hurts to the core, but sometimes it's so much fun when it just like, and I'm saying, hey, why don't we just stop right now so I can pray for you because you seem upset. And it's not to make fun at all. It's really because we're talking about the God of love. So I'm just going to give you four things, and we may go to eight, but definitely four things. Let me review them real quick on the screen. They are love. Listen and learn. Everyone say listen and learn. Offer to serve. Say offer to serve. Value their humanity. Say value their humanity. And extend an invitation to a next step. Say extend an invitation. Let me tell you something. If you can, in your mind, think of someone in your mind who doesn't know Jesus. And if you could start just practicing these things with them and watch the Spirit of God move on them. Watch the Spirit of God move through you. Watch you start to hear things that they may not be saying with their mouth, but the Spirit of God is saying to you. So number one, listen and learn. Everyone say listen and learn. This fulfills a need in non-Christians' hearts to be heard. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest reasons non-Christians don't want to talk to Christians because we do not listen. All we do is shout at them, tell them what's wrong, and tell them how they got to do this, how they got to do this. They're going to go to hell if they don't ask Jesus in their life. And we don't listen to really what they're saying. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 19, let every man be slow to speak, swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. We got to be quick to listen. Everyone say, listen. There was a friend of mine, a man that I wish I would have spent a lot more time with. And his name was Bill. Bill was sick and dying. And they said, hey, Bill's close to going to heaven. So I called him up, and I hadn't talked to him in a long time. And he said, hey, Miles. He says, I know you a lot because I listen to you a lot. But you don't know me a lot because you don't listen to me a lot. Even at his deathbed, he was funny. So we talked, and then the next day, I went over to his house. I said, hey, Bill, I want to know you a lot, so I'm going to listen a lot. And I sat next to his bed for, you know, maybe a half an hour, and he talked the best he could, and then he passed the next day. There's people in your life you're not listening to. There's people in your life who are screaming out, saying, I need you to hear me. There's non-Christians in your life that you're arguing with, and you're trying to get your point across, they're trying to get their point across. I want to challenge you to pause, step back, and listen, and ask, tell me more about that. Help me understand that better. Can you explain that differently? This is God's. This is the work of sharing your faith. It's understanding. People don't care how much you know until they know that you care. And you can't care if you're not listening. So my challenge to you, come on, church. And I would also challenge you as you're listening, this is, asking questions is probably the most powerful way you can have a conversation with somebody. Because one of the things, when you learn to ask questions, you can talk to anybody about anything. Because all you have to do is ask a bunch of questions. Now, in that asking questions, you are learning. I love science, as you know, and so if I'm on a plane next to somebody who's a scientist about anything, any kind of science, I'm like all ears. Tell me about this. Tell me about that. Help me understand it. How's that work? It's like, those little kids just ask you questions. They drive you crazy. You can learn so much about the topic, but also about the person. Then through listening, after you listen, the Holy Spirit's going to say, ask them about that. Share this principle, this verse with them. So my first step that I want to encourage you in is listen. Everyone say listen. Say listen. Next one is offer to serve. The O in love is offer to serve. How can I serve you? Time is, the definition of time is the progression of events. The definition of time is the measurement of the progression of events. And time only moves in one direction. It actually has a direction. Forward. Never goes backwards. Time is the progression of events and it moves forward. Love, on the other hand, has two directions. Love is out and love is in. The Bible says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love has a direction out, and love has a direction in. You should love yourself. And we'll say, I love myself. That is a biblical concept. The Bible says the greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. There are some people who treat you bad because they treat themselves bad. There's some people who are just miserable. And if they're miserable, you're going to be miserable with them. Because the Bible says the mouth speaks in the overflow of the heart. And they got misery and pain and low self-esteem and an ugly perspective of themselves. That's what's going to come out of their mouth. And by the way, if you have people in your life that is all they talk negative, you might want to step back and go, man, there must be something hurting in them. Listen. Listen. And that's what, there's a ministry opportunity. And so offering to serve is actually outward. Offering to serve is not about me. Now, some people will serve other people for benefit. That's called manipulation. That's not honest. But loving someone says, I want to serve for your benefit. The Bible says in Matthew, in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, that Jesus says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom. You are most like Jesus when you are sacrificing for the benefit of somebody else. You are not the most like Jesus when you're in church sitting here. That's great. You're not the most like Jesus when you give. That's great. You're not the most like Jesus when you pray, read your Bible, or even preach a sermon. You are the most like Jesus when you are saying, Lord, I'm going to put myself second, esteem others better than myself so they can understand who you are. Imagine if your non-Christian friends knew you as that person. Oh, yeah, that's the Christian. Oh, yeah, I heard about them. No, but he's different. She's different. They actually serve. They actually listen. Imagine you listening to your non-Christian friend and they had a question about something you didn't have the answer. Don't make something up. Serve them and say, can I go find out? I'll do the research and then we'll get back together again. This is sharing your faith. Because what they're doing is they're experiencing God before they start hearing about God. And so my encouragement to you is, number one, start today. Go to the restaurant and listen to the person that comes talk to you. Look them in the eye. Say, Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to hear from what they're saying? And then say, then offer to serve. And then V is value their humanity. Place value on their humanity. The Bible says in Genesis 1:26 that God made man in his image, and the image he made him male and female. God made man in his image, and he said, let us make man in our image and according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over all the cattle, and over all every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God says, I'm going to make man. Every man and woman, or let me say it this way, every human being, male and female, whether they think they're male or female or not, were made in the image of God. Therefore, they have an opportunity and a design to have a relationship with God. They also have a need that only God can fulfill. And when they are told God can't fulfill it, we'll go after other ways to fulfill that hole. But every single person has a need to have a relationship with God, has a need to be loved by God, and has a need to be loved by people. Every single person. And when that need is not met, they go to the alternative. I was in Balboa Park about 3 weeks ago, and we were sharing our faith, and there was a guy, unhoused guy, sitting on the ground. And right next to him, about 6 feet away, was a woman, and she was standing against the wall, and she had a wig in her hand and her back to me. And as I was walking over, she just wouldn't look at me. And I said, how you doing? And she said, oh, I'm okay, okay. I asked her name. She gave me her name. And she just wouldn't look. And I said, we're not going to film you. She didn't want to be filmed. So she walked over here. I ended up talking to the guy on the ground for about, 20, 30 minutes. And then when I got up to leave, I said hi to that lady again. And then we started talking about her life, and she let me actually have a conversation with her. She didn't want to be filmed, but she wanted to be seen. She wanted to be valued, affirmed that she was there, that she's a person. People want to be affirmed. You have people in your life who have legitimate objections to Christianity because of their experience with Christians, their experience with church. Now, there are answers to those questions, but we have to be the ones to say, I value the fact that you have these questions. I want to help you get answers to these questions. Every single one of us can be that person. All people have a need to be loved, to be valued, and to be have purpose, have direction in their life. Every single person. A lot of times you may remember there was always a kid in class or on our block or in the neighborhood that was always trying to get attention. He was the loudest kid. He was just the irritating kid. He was always trying to disrupt everything. And it was always like, what is wrong with that kid? That kid was saying, I'm not trying to get you to see what I'm doing. I'm trying to get you to see me. We all have that need. And if all of us would realize, Holy Spirit, show me how to value and place value on this human being that is searching for purpose and searching for need that only you can give. That is our opportunity. Holy Spirit, direct me. Give me wisdom. And all the people you meet, if you just ask God, God, I want to listen to this person. I want to know what's going on with them. I want to have an opportunity to serve them and show them the heart of God to bless them. I want them to feel like they are a valuable person. I don't know if all y'all have someone in your life that is so positive and everything's great and everything you do is great or they're very complimentary. Sometimes when you get around people like that, you end up following them around because you want them to encourage you. Can y'all know what I'm saying? And you're like, hey, how you doing? And you'll talk about anything. And they'll be like, how you doing? I don't know. I went to Starbucks yesterday. And you just want to see them say, that's great. Did you have a great time? And you probably enjoyed the coffee. It's so good. And you made a great decision. And you're like, oh, that's great. You know, I did after that. I went to Vons. Tell me more. Tell me more. Then I got my car and it turned on. Tell me more. Tell me more. They're just positive. You know why? Because we all want to be loved. Imagine if you would have, now you don't have to be super, super, super like that, but imagine if you had something positive to say, something encouraging to say. If you can remember the last day you had a bad day, when your life, you would just say, ugh, feel like the whole world was against you, you know what God said? I love you. I don't got a problem. I want to encourage you. Can you listen to me instead of that? Can you let me encourage you instead of those people? We need to be those people. That when people get around you, you can say, listen, can I encourage you today? Can I bless you today? I see you. You did a great job today. I love your hair. I love those shoes. I don't know what color they are, but I love those shoes. Where'd you get those shoes? Number four, or E, is extended invitation. Everyone say extended invitation. You've listened. You've offered to serve. You've placed value on their humanity and all that comes with our humanity, our need for love, relationships, clarity, purpose, that everybody's walking around wanting to know who they are. Everybody. No matter how much money they have or don't have, no matter what ethnicity they are, no matter where they live, everybody's walking around with a God-sized hole in their heart that only God can fill. Looking for purpose, looking for relationships. I was listening to this podcast the other day, and the guy was talking about the number one indicator of a long life, the number one factor that, for you to have a long life. How many of y'all want to live a long life? Okay, very good. Let me adjust the statement, the question. I would tell you, you don't want to live a long life. You want to live a long, productive life, a long, happy life. I used to want to get to 120. That was my goal back in the day. And then I saw a dude from Japan. He was 109, and he was like this. I'm like, I'm good. I don't want to be like that. If I could be like this at 109, I'm good. But I don't want to be all jacked up saying I'm trying to hold on for 11 more years. I don't want that. You want to live a long, happy life. Can I get an amen? The number one factor of you living a long, healthy life is not your money. It's not your good looks. Because you're going to be jacked up at 100 and something. You know, whatever you look like back in the day is gone. Not your health. It's the meaningful relationships you have. And in the context of those relationships, you know, the Bible says in Genesis, God made Adam, and he was all by himself. And you know what God says? It's not good that he be alone. He'll die. He needs companionship. He needs someone to love and love him back. He needs someone to encourage and encourage him back. We need each other. And so here we go. The last step is extend an invitation. You've loved this person. You've listened to them. You've offered to serve them. You value them. And as people, they're going to go, something different about you. I remember when I was a rookie with the Rams in 1982. I was 22 years old. And there was a guy on the team named, he was a Christian. And he kept sharing his faith with me. And his name was Joe Sharon. That was his name, Sharon. And Joe, if you're out there, man, I love you. I'll never forget the day. Came. Amen. He came to my room, and he was sharing his faith with me, and I was like, yo, why is this dude being so nice? And he said, listen, I want to encourage you to read the Bible, blah, blah, blah. And I said, I don't have a Bible. He said, take mine. I'll never forget that. I didn't have a long relationship with Joe Sharon. I got cut from the team. He got cut, so we never saw each other again. But I'll never forget that guy. That's you. This is not about shouting. It's about you saying, I just want to listen to you. I want to offer to serve you. I want to value your humanity. And I'm going to extend an invitation. And we're just going to go over these four things really simple. I extend an invitation to a next step. Let's put those next steps up there. And then we're going to pray here real quick. Share your testimony. Take them to church. Explain the gospel. Pray for them. This is not complicated. It's not complicated. I want to pray for you. And I want to extend an invitation to you to say, Lord, I want to be a lover of people. I want to be a lover. God has not called us to be nice to people who are nice to us. They crucified Jesus. He died for those people. But we have to understand it's not about us shouting people down. It's not about us winning arguments. It's about us winning relationships. And if they don't like you, they got to like him. And we got to get out of the way. And so I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask in a minute people to get up out of their seat and come down to the altar. Now, first let me say this. This is to say, Lord, I want to be a powerful, loving tool in your hand. I'll end with the story I started with, the guy running half speed. I want to call people forward, say, I don't want to be that guy. I want to get out of my old, comfortable seat that I sit in, and I want to start doing something for God. So in a minute, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. And as your eyes are closed and your head's bowed, I want to specifically challenge the men in the room and in all the campuses, that the men would lead the way and be the example of a lover of Christ and a lover of our neighbor and our enemies. And the men would say, no, I am going to love people into the kingdom, even if just one person. Lord, I thank you for all these people sitting in the seats, and so many people here. They come to church, they read the Bible or not, but they claim they're Christian. But they're not necessarily, at least an hour ago, running full speed, giving 100%. But they want to. They can be very intentional about listening, offering to serve, valuing people, extend an invitation. They can be very intentional about it. And so as I'm praying, I'm going to ask people in all the campuses, especially the guys, grab your woman's hand, bring her with you, just to get up out of your seat and come down to the altar, that God may do something in you and through you. So as the eyes are closed, the heads are bowed, I'm just going to ask you to get up out of your seat and come on down to the altar right now in Jesus' name. God bless you. Come on down. 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 Come on, fellas. Come on, fellas. Let's set the example. All in all the campuses, get up out of your seat. Come up out of your seat. In all the campuses, get up. Fellas, lead the way. Lead the way. Come to the middle of the room. Come to the middle of the stage. Come on. Come on, church. Let's give them a big hand. Come on. Let's encourage them. Come on, church. Come on. 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 Get up out of your seat, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Come on, church. Fellas, there's more guys out there saying, I got to be that guy. I got to be that guy. I got to be that guy. Come on, I got to have that kind of family. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on. I'm going to read something to you. I'm going to read something to you. Then we're going to pray. I've been reading about the Holy Spirit, and I've been praying these verses over my life about the Holy Spirit, and there's so many of them. I'm just going to give you one. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, if I can get to it real quick. Come on, Pastor, get to the Bible verse. Here it says. It says, eye has not seen. This is what God is saying over all of y'all. Eye has not seen, nor heard, ear has heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for you that love him. God has something for every single one of you that you have never seen. You have never heard, and it's unique to you. Don't look at anybody else to say, God, whatever you have for me, I want that. Are y'all following me? So this is what the Bible's saying. And then it says, we don't even know it, but God has revealed it to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, just the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit of God, that we may know what has been freely given to us. My challenge to you is first, if you want to read this later, it's 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12, 2, 9 to 12, 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 12, that you say, God, show me what has been freely given to me. I want to know. It's already yours. He's already given you something. Now, I would tell you, if you think, yeah, he gave me wisdom, he gave me advice, he gave me a warning. Can I get an amen? And I either did or didn't take it. But Lord, God is not giving up on you. So here's my challenge to all of you today, and all of y'all sitting in your seats today, let's get in the game. Let's stop playing church. And I'm not assuming that you're playing church. I'm just talking to whoever it lands on, let it land. But you're going to see somebody today when you leave here. You are going to see somebody, even if it's the person you're with, and say, I'm going to listen to you. I really want to know what's going on. How can I serve you? How can I value your pain, your frustration? And by the way, I want to extend you an invitation so I can pray for you. I want to bring you to church or encourage you. This is evangelism. That's what it is. Now, you get to the gospel. You will. But if you start there with that kind of heart and that kind of posture and be aggressive about it, and when I mean aggressive, not loud, not fast, but just intentional, that you're going to intentionally love people, you can do it with every single person you meet. And the next thing you know, people, you're going to say, hey, can I invite you to church? It's going to come out of your mouth. You're going to be like, what happened? And they're going to go, oh, okay. And with this, I was at a restaurant, and this lady, the waitress came over, and she said, I asked, did she go to church? She said, no, I don't do religion. I said, neither do I. And I said, you know, there was a little boy who tried to get a book off the top of the bookshelf, and he couldn't reach it. So his father grabbed it and brought it down to him. In the same way, heaven is, we can't get to heaven on our own because the standard is perfection. So God sent his son down to us. And she's like, I'll go to church. A month or two later, she was standing right there and got saved. Now, can you do that? For sure. That took me 15 seconds. Can you do that? For sure. But you got to start by opening your mouth. How you doing? How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? What's going on in your life? Lord, I just pray we would love people. Not argue with people. Not fight people. And Lord, now I know why I was such a battle this morning with the devil. I had chest pains. It's because he didn't want me to say all this stuff. He didn't want these people to get it. So I pray that you bless us. I pray we leave here and open our eyes to who you send into our life. And then we just encourage them. We listen, we offer to serve, we value them, we extend an invitation. Even if the invitation is just, hey, I want to encourage you, cry out to God, whatever that invitation is. In Jesus' name, amen.